ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, hanging out with you until noon, and then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and Casey here on Sacramento's sports leader, ESPN at 1320. Charlie has given me
the looky.
That's what he calls it.
I went through it.
Alabama, Wisconsin at 9 a.m. on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Sac State football, 6:30 p.m. kickoff Saturday. The Hornets looking for their first win facing Nicholls State. That'll be here in Sacramento.
No. Oh, it is. You're right. Charlie just told us where Nicholls State is located in Louisiana.
Yeah. Not to be confused with the Nicholls State in Idaho.
I think it's Thibodaux. That's what he said. Yeah. Anyway.
What?
Yeah, he knew in Louisiana. That's where Nicholls State is. I think that's what he said.
And Tom Thibodaux went there?
No, but that's the town.
Oh,
Nicholls State is in.
Oh, got it. Okay. No. Is it Thibodaux or Thibodaux?
I think, well, Tom Thibodaux.
Right. But I've now heard the NBA podcast community, some in the NBA podcast community calling him Thibodaux, and then they say Thibs.
Are they just being...
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, these are very self-serious people.
Okay. Did you call them self-serious?
Yes. They take themselves very seriously.
Oh, I love that. Self-serious people.
Raiders, Ravens, of course, on Sunday. Tough one for the Las Vegas Raiders coming up against Baltimore. Baltimore looking to bounce back after a tough loss to the Chiefs on Thursday night to open the season. Coverage begins at 9:30 a.m. Kickoff from Baltimore at 10 a.m. We'll have Mad Props coming up later today. We're doing Mad Props today because I'm out tomorrow and Friday, so we'll have to do those a little bit early. We'll do those today. The good news about me being out tomorrow and Friday, mm-hmm. and also Monday, Joe.
Yeah, Joe's going to be here.
Joe's going to be here. Jesse, I believe, is in with you.
Yeah.
Jesse Tapia. And Jesse gets to just hang out because Joe is going to run the board.
That's amazing.
And Joe's going to get experience, and by the end of it, everybody's going to be like, wow, Joe should just be with the Insiders full time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not pushing for it or anything, but maybe
we
are.
Oh, I am. We're very openly pushing for it.
We're all in.
Yeah.
We need everyone to send emails to our what do we call him? The tribal chief?
Yeah. I don't know if we should give out his email. I don't know. I'm not totally sure.
Used to be like how we gave out the salesperson's email address.
Yeah.
We do have some breaking news from Adam Schefter.
Okay.
The Rams have placed wide receiver Puka Nacua, offensive lineman Steve Avila, and offensive lineman Joe Noteboom on injured reserve. They will be out a minimum of 4 weeks.
That is two starting offensive linemen and a starting wide receiver all out for the Rams for at least 4 weeks. They, by the end of week one, had one offensive lineman in his normal starting spot.
That's not ideal, Kyle.
It's really suboptimal.
Yeah.
I think Sean McVay is a good coach, and they're going to be able to get through this. The Rams apparently just produce good wide receivers the way the 49ers produce good running backs. It's like, oh, Puka Nacua goes down early against the Lions. Okay, here's Tyler Johnson and DeMarcus Robinson, and then Cooper Kupp, of course, going to get 21 targets.
Yeah, because we looked and Stafford had 49 passes. He led all quarterbacks in pass attempts this week, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And he broke 300 yards, but he only averaged a little over 6 yards per attempt.
Yeah. Behind that offensive line, the fact that they scored 20 points and actually had a lead in that game, because when they had, I think it was their third offensive line injury of the game, I was watching and you're going, okay, they're just not going to move the ball tonight. They have no chance tonight. And then they put together 20 points. It's why I'm still high on the Rams, despite the loss.
Yeah.
The Rams are a good team, man.
I think so, too.
But they're in a tough spot. Two offensive linemen, like you just said, and Puka Nacua, all going on IR. They will miss a minimum of 4 weeks. Golden Sky Music Festival. And Golden Sky Music and Beer Festival. I was going through this read real quick. Sorry. Golden Sky Music and Beer Festival at Discovery Park, October 18th and 20th. We're giving away tickets now. Tickets available at goldenskyfestival.com, but you can win tickets at ESPN1320.com. That's two VIP tickets to the Saturday, October 19th show. VIP tickets to the Saturday, October 19th show. That is to the Golden Sky Music and Beer Festival.
Mm.
I might have to get out there. Saturday, October 19th, I'm not doing anything.
Okay.
I might have to pull up. You can win your tickets at ESPN1320.com.
I probably won't make it, but
that's okay.
That's okay.
Hey, where'd my rundown go?
It's right here. Well, I have my own rundown right here. I think we're going to talk MVP ladders.
Yeah, yeah, we're back to the NFL. An interesting thing to come out of week one for the 49ers was A, Jordan Mason's performance, B, the Christian McCaffrey injury stuff, which just a quick note on that, the NFL, according to NBC Sports Bay Area, is not going to investigate the 49ers for their handling of the Christian McCaffrey injury situation. Not sure 100% why. Don't know if there was... because if there wasn't an investigation, then they didn't go ask. But apparently, Christian McCaffrey did practice Friday and Saturday.
Oh.
So that's why I think the NFL just kind of shrugged its shoulders. And whether Jordan Mason got told he's going to start on Friday, because the Niners could just say, well, he misunderstood, or which is what Kyle Shanahan kind of said after the game. Or they might say, well, yeah, we told Jordan he was going to start, but Christian was going to play if he could get through warmups, and he didn't. So there was no way the NFL would have been wasting its time, I think.
Yeah, I also think that they could have told Jordan Mason, hey, you probably need to be ready to start on mm-hmm. Monday because mm-hmm. we're not sure what's going to happen with Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So just be ready
mm-hmm.
because there's a good chance he might start. Like, we hope that he's going to be healthy, but
yeah.
there's a good chance that you could start. And he took that as, oh, I was told
yeah.
on Friday.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the first time it was mentioned to him was Friday. Yeah, so it makes sense the NFL wouldn't waste its time investigating the 49ers on that. So I think going into the season, if we had said, hey, who's the 49ers team MVP?
Mm.
We're going to build out what that list looked like. Would have featured Christian McCaffrey,
yep.
Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, Brock Purdy, and probably Fred Warner.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to adjust this each week. We're going to go through and we're going to run through the 49ers top five players each week.
Okay.
And we're going to move this around based on that week's game. It's not going to be like per game. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we'll adjust this each week. Number five on our list this week. There's a ton of options, right?
Yep.
Juwan Jennings gets some consideration. I think the two edge rushers who did play well, Leonard Floyd and Nick Bosa, have to get some consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Who lands at number five for you?
I think this was pretty clear. What he won the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week, right?
Yep.
And that is Mr. Moody.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think it's hard to put a kicker on an MVP list, but when he accounts for 18 of your 32 points.
Yeah.
I guess technically 20.
20.
Because of the two extra points. So when he accounts for 20 of your 32 points.
It's pretty good.
He has to make the list.
Yeah. I mean, he was very good. And I think the other thing is, Kyle, we were so shaky on him last year. And you just didn't know. You got all the way to the playoffs. And we kept saying, man, if you lose a playoff game because you have a kicker who isn't very accurate and isn't very experienced
mm-hmm.
and has looked shaky throughout the season, cost you at least one game, maybe two, mm-hmm. early in the year. To have him come out early in this season and establish himself as a big time weapon, mm-hmm. all right, good for you.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, again, if Kyle Shanahan is not going to go for it on fourth and one, you're going to need a good kicker, and guy goes 6 for 6 to start the season. Pretty solid.
Yeah. Number four, I feel like Brock Purdy has to be on the list.
I think so too. I think he was good. He wasn't great, but he was good. And his stats would have looked a lot better if he would have had a couple of balls that weren't dropped. But mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. We have him here at number four. I thought Nick Bosa was good. I thought Nick Bosa was really good. I thought Floyd had a really nice game too.
I thought Bosa and Floyd, if you want to look at them as a tandem, I thought they were good. They weren't great. You know, again, what do we come up with? 6 pressures for for Bosa?
Five.
Five. Okay, and he only, he didn't have a sack, but I think he only got to the quarterback, like, hit the quarterback one time.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen more from Bosa. This looked for me a lot more like week one through four last year, Bosa, where he's kind of feeling out the process, and you're like, okay, what's going on?
Oh, man, I totally disagree on that. I thought last night he looked way better than he did at any point the first few weeks of last year. Okay. Monday night.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
he was getting held left and right. There was the viral clip of him, the left tackle, putting him in a chokehold.
Oh yeah,
like he was awesome. The statistical production wasn't there. He was really good though. But on the other hand, I know the stats weren't there for Purdy, and they're not gonna jump off the screen. There weren't a ton of wow throws, but we talked yesterday about the importance of getting it to the right player,
mm-hmm.
eliminating negative plays, turning negative plays into positive ones. I think it's fair to put the quarterback in the top five right now.
No, I think so too. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't throw an egregious pick. Mm-hmm. He didn't rush things. He kept control, balanced the team.
Yep.
The pass to Juszczyk was huge. The play, getting Ayuk back on the field and comfortable, I think was a big deal. He hit Kittle a couple of times. Juwan Jennings, you know, he went to him in big opportunities. So overall, I thought it was pretty solid.
Number three, to me, the top three are pretty easy.
I think so, too.
It's not, like, again, all due respect to the two edge guys we just talked about, all due respect to Juwan Jennings, who I thought was really, really good. It's Fred Warner at three for me.
Yeah.
Because when it feels like you can tell what kind of game the Niners defense is going to have based on how Fred Warner plays in the first two drives.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just all over the place. He's forcing the fumble. He's talking all sorts of... Alan Lazard had the drop on the Packers' first third down. And Warner, you know, stands over him and he's talking his talk. Fred Warner's such a tone setter for the Niners. And he was really, really freaking good on Monday.
Yeah, he's just crazy how he flies to the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he doesn't get the tackle, he wipes out two guys two blockers and allows someone else to get to the ball, to the ball carrier. He's an absolute joy to watch play football, and you're watching, like, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, it just, I don't think for me, it's any question. Week in and week out, he's just so dominant.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to, this is one of those things that's difficult because nobody thinks that Fred Warner is not good at football. Like, he's like consensus best off ball linebacker in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel like his importance to their defense gets understated. We talk all about the pass rush. We talk all about Nick Bosa, and you get Talano Hufanga is an all pro and Chavarius Ward's an all pro. And we're expecting D'Amador Lenore to take this leap this year. But the way Fred Warner just controls the middle of the field at all times against the run, against the pass, it just makes playing defense for the 49ers so much easier when you have a middle linebacker who's just going to eliminate the middle of the field.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
So shout out to Fred Warner. Number two, go Trent Williams. Give the big guy some love, man.
Just walks in a month and a half late. Like, hey, what's going on? I got this.
No pressures allowed. Has to go back for an IV after 70 snaps. But looked for the most part, not perfect, but looked for the most part like Trent Williams.
Yeah.
And you figure once he gets in a little bit better shape and he gets his football legs under him where he doesn't have to go get an IV after playing all the snaps, he'll look even better. And I know that an offensive lineman is never going to win an MVP or an offensive player of the year, and that totally makes sense to me. But man, if you're talking about 49ers best players or MVPs of the team or players they cannot afford to lose, Trent Williams is that guy for me, man.
Yeah, so
just the hardest one to replace.
I totally agree. You had a quarterback that, you know, he defended the blind side of his quarterback, and your quarterback was upright the whole game. Purdy got sacked twice, but for only negative 6 yards total.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's big, but you also had a running back go crazy in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that matter. Like, I don't think they ran behind Trent Williams the whole game. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, I thought that they did a lot of like mixing and matching where they're running. But at the same time, like you had a guy go for 147 yards. You had a quarterback that got hit only twice. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought they did a really good job. And, like, the fact that he missed all of training camp and all of preseason and just walked in the door last week and is able to come out and start all those games at age 36, really, really impressive.
Yep, no doubt. Shout out to Trent Williams. He's number two on our 49ers MVP ladder here on the Insiders. James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, Jiffy Lube's a sponsor on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Number one, that's a layup, is Jordan Mason right now.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's going to be there all year. No. I think at some point Christian McCaffrey will come back. But if I'm guessing right now on Wednesday at 11:19 a.m., I don't think Christian McCaffrey is going to play this week. And I think you're going to see Jordan Mason get a ton of touches. I think you're going to see Jordan Mason be super productive again. And it wouldn't surprise me if coming out of week two, we're going, yeah, Jordan Mason is still the number one guy for us on our MVP ladder here.
Yeah, it definitely depends on, you know, what Minnesota Vikings team shows up. Because if you got a throw, then, you know, could move one or two of these guys up, whether it be Purdy, whether it be one of the receivers, whether it be Kittle. But for me, like, this is the right guy. He stepped on the field and played like a seasoned vet. He ran so hard and just carved up a defense. And I thought it was so impressive that you were able to, midway through the game, just completely change your game plan and rely on a young back to go crazy. And yeah, he hit some people.
So we mentioned yesterday he had the most carries by a running back or any player. He had the most carries for a 49ers player under Kyle Shanahan. He had 29 touches in the game. Mm-hmm. How many times do you think Christian McCaffrey, since joining the 49ers, went over, what did I say, 29? Went over 29 touches in a game.
Maybe twice? That's my guess. Two times, ever. It's probably zero, but two times.
Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
Yeah, you nailed it. Congratulations. He did it twice. Christian McCaffrey went 30 touches in the Super Bowl. That was last year, last season, 30 touches in the Super Bowl. And then week 15 of the 2022 season, when the 49ers went into Seattle and won, he had 32 touches in that game. And that game, you'll remember, was after Brock Purdy had gotten hurt in his first start. Maybe it was week 14. Week 15? Yeah, week... Whenever it was. He had gotten hurt in the previous game. I think it was against Tampa Bay in his first start. And he hurt his ribs and then didn't throw like all week and threw in the tunnel before the game and gave it a go in Seattle on a short week. That was the game where Christian McCaffrey had 32 touches. Mm. It was because they had a banged up quarterback who couldn't really effectively throw the ball downfield.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, having McCaffrey is such a luxury to have, and that's why you want to put him on ice here and make sure that he's right, you know?
I just don't, I kind of wonder what they're going to do if McCaffrey doesn't play in week two. We were talking about Jordan Mason's workload. If McCaffrey's not playing in week two, I don't think you're going to see Jordan Mason get 29-plus touches again. I think he's going to be effective, but you have to be able to, I think they might plan better to not have McCaffrey, where it's not Deebo Samuel, instead it's Isaac Arendo or it's Patrick Taylor, giving Mason some kind of reprieve.
You would hope so, but I also think that they're looking at this with, you know, the mindset that the McCaffrey's coming back sooner rather than later. So if you do have to, you know, go out there and give a guy 55 carries over two games, then you're okay with that.
Man, I guess.
Because it's not McCaffrey who's doing that. You got what I'm saying? Like, what's going to happen next for Jordan Mason? If McCaffrey's back in week three, then maybe he gets his eight carries that we talk about, but maybe he gets three, maybe he gets five. You know, so you're not going to worry about all of those carries early in the season. But you want him to be healthy, yeah, just like you want McCaffrey to be healthy.
Yeah, dude, and it's a short week. You're playing Monday night and then Sunday, 10 a.m. kickoff?
It's early in the season. He's young. He hasn't taken a lot of hits.
Like, dude, but he has. You got hit a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's why if he was, this isn't a great example because Devon Achane's hurt all the time, But if he was a Devon Achane type of runner, Devon Achane for the Dolphins, where he's a smaller guy, doesn't take a ton of hits, he's going to run around. He's going to run around defenders. He's going to try and get to the sideline. He's not putting his shoulder into defenders and finishing runs.
No,
that's just not his style. Really good player, not his style. Jordan Mason exclusively seeks contact.
Oh yeah,
and that's where my concern comes in with these touches. It's like, man, Christian McCaffrey, same deal. I don't think he runs as physical as Jordan Mason, but I think that's partly because McCaffrey's more patient and just a better runner. He avoids contact by just being in the right place and hitting the right hole and following the right blocker. But I can't imagine Jordan Mason on a short week is going to turn around and just go right back to 30 touches. That's dangerous.
Well, it's dangerous, but it's not something we haven't seen before. I just feel like this.
It is, though. It is. We haven't seen that with Kyle Shanahan. That would be completely atypical.
Well, no. I get that. I get that because he hasn't done that with McCaffrey. But like, I still think that this is one of those situations where if he's the number one back, he's going to get most of the carries. And I don't think Shanahan 1 week is going to build his confidence in one of these young players and let him go send him out there and potentially fumble or miss a block.
Look, dude, and I don't disagree with you necessarily, but I think if you can plan that you're not going to have Christian McCaffrey and you can get Isaac Garendo some work in practice, you can get Patrick Taylor some work in practice, and you have a handful of things that you know they can do, and you put them in. Patrick Taylor did some third down stuff for the Packers last year. Maybe that's the move. But doing something to take some of the onus off Jordan Mason. But look, here's the bigger problem. If you're going to draft a run, if you're going to trade two picks to move up into the fourth round to draft a running back, and you don't feel good about putting that running back on the field, you have this continues to be a massive problem. We talked about Kyle Shanahan earlier. I am very in the camp that Shanahan is good, but when it comes to this is a place that he continuously fails.
Oh yeah.
And it's cool that Isaac Garendo's on the roster. It's cool that he got in for the third preseason game and had the big kick return. Okay, that's all nice. But if you're trading two picks to move up to draft this guy, you should feel good about being able to play him.
Especially
for 10 snaps.
Especially week two of the season, like there has to be a point. He's coming out of a preseason where he should have got a lot of snaps. He didn't because of injuries. Yeah, it's a little sketch, man.
Yeah.
So right. I think they're going to need to figure that one out.
Maybe. It's crazy how different the conversation is about the Niners now, though. I went from before the season, went like, man, I think 9-8 could be on the table. I think the Rams are going to win the division. And after one game, they're locked in for week one. Leave some points on the field for sure, but locked in for week one. And I'm like, yeah, how can they manage McCaffrey to make sure he's healthy for the Super Bowl?
Now you're looking at you like, this is probably one of the best three teams in football.
That's it. That's what I think. That's just kind of it. I just needed to see it. I needed to see how does this offseason impact them? And were they perfect in week one? Like, no, by no means. But when you look at some of the other performances around the league in week one, the 49ers looked really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take out that last drive by the Jets, you're looking at a 32-13 final against a team that a lot of people are picking to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's a really impressive way to open your season. Again, it doesn't mean you've punched your ticket. But when we always talked about all the bad vibes going into the year, they're gone. It doesn't matter anymore. They've done everything. I've seen everything I needed to see in week one to think that the 49ers look like the 49ers again.
No, I totally agree. Is there anyone that that Mason reminded you of as far as a runner? It popped in my head while we were doing the show here. He kind of reminds me of Marion Barber.
Ooh, that's a really good one. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That really physical when players get hands on him. You see the knees get really high.
Yeah,
and he
starts
gonna,
punishing people.
Yeah,
people
fighting
around
for every yard. Yeah,
yeah.
That's a really good comp. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Marion Barber was sick.
Yeah,
Marion Barber's a really good player for the Dallas Cowboys. All right, we're gonna do mad props. We want to talk a little bit about the quarterback play because one quarterback who wasn't bad this past weekend was the quarterback the 49ers are facing on Sunday. We'll talk about him next as well. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, of course the story was anticlimactic, Soren. I said, John Bull said something in the chatty house, and I said, this is exactly what happened to me. My friend. I mean. And then I proceeded to explain what happened to my friend.
That's right.
Which had the same ending as John Bull's.
Oh.
Which was exactly the point.
I think I've had that same exact scenario. Because, you know, there's four of us, so someone different can get the mail all the time, so that mail ends up in different spots.
Sure.
And it's too much mail, you know, especially now the boys on occasion get mail. Mm-hmm. So now there's more mail. You're like, okay, sure. This is too much.
Yeah. Something they don't prepare you for in life is just how much you will come to despise getting mail.
Yeah.
When you're a kid, it's like, mail for me, this is the best thing that's ever happened.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when I open the mailbox, as I'm walking to the mailbox, I'm like, please no mail, please no mail, please no mail. Please God, no mail. Because it's either something bad or I'm throwing it away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's the extent of it. Except for like birthday cards. Salute to the fam that still sends me birthday cards.
There you go.
More than that, like, ugh. No, mail
I'm with
sucks.
You. I'm with you.
Let's get to Mad Props. Mad Props. Two stats. We pick which one's higher. The voice guy with the intro will explain. But since I'm not going to be here tomorrow or Friday, Jesse Tapia will be in for me. Joe Brazil, who will be on this show permanently soon. I'm just manifesting now.
Yeah.
We'll be running the board. Very excited for that. They're going to be in Thursday, Friday, and Monday. So we're going to do Mad Props today.
Okay.
So fingers crossed nothing happens between now and Sunday that renders any of these moot.
Okay.
Okay?
Let's do it.
Because we have no basketball, we're doing the Niner game and the Raider game once again. I tried to pick different players with different stats and stuff. Some of them are repeats. Some of them are not. Here we go.
It's time for Mad Props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's Mad Props.
All right, here we go. Raiders and Niners. Niners visiting the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday, 10 a.m. kick. The Raiders visiting the Baltimore Ravens for a 10 a.m. kick on Sunday. These games will be happening at the same time. James, let's get started. Which number will be greater? Jordan Mason's carries or Gardner Minshew's completions?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Thanks.
I'm going to go Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Mainly because I think the Raiders are going to have to throw it a lot against Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not totally sure that Baltimore is going to be able to cover Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers and Brock Bowers. And I also don't know that the Raiders are going to be able to come up with a ton of stops against what I think is going to be a pretty good Ravens offense.
Okay.
So I think we're going to see Gardner Minshew throw it a ton. I think you're going to see plenty of Jordan Mason carries, but I think you're going to see a lot fewer than last week.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll probably be more around like the 22 to 23, mm-hmm. 24 carries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think he'll get up to the high 20s.
Yeah. The next one, number two, Deebo Samuel targets or Max Crosby pressures? Quarterback pressures for Max Crosby.
I am going to go Max Crosby.
Yeah, he might cook behind that or in front of that Ravens offensive line. That didn't look particularly good in week one.
They did not look very good at all.
I don't know how many sacks he'll come up with because Lamar Jackson is really, really hard to get on the ground.
Yeah, he's crafty.
But I think you're going to see Max Crosby spending a lot of time in the Ravens' backfield. That said, I think you're going to see a ton of targets for Deebo Samuel.
Oh.
I don't think you're going to see as many carries, but I still think you're going to see a little bit of a limited version of Brandon Ayuk. I don't think you're going to see Christian McCaffrey. And I don't think you're going to see Deebo Samuel running it eight times, but they're going to want to get the ball in his hands. I think we're going to see upwards of like 10-plus targets for Deebo Samuel.
Ooh.
On Sunday. I think Max Crosby has a bunch of pressures, too. I just think Deebo Samuel winds up having more targets.
All right.
The next one, Mitch Wishnowsky punts. He punted just once in the 49ers win over the Jets. or Trey Tucker receptions. Trey Tucker, the speedy wide receiver for the Las Vegas Raiders. He is also their punt returner. Mitch Wishnowsky punts or receptions for Trey Tucker. Trey Tucker had 2 catches on 3 targets in the opener.
I'm going to go Mitch Wishnowsky punts.
Yeah. I think he's going to punt more than once.
Yeah, I think it'll be 3-4 times.
Yeah, I'm gonna go that same route. I think you're gonna see the Raiders lean heavy on Davante Adams, on Brock Bowers, on their guys they know are they're more reliable targets.
Yeah, of course.
I think there will be some targets for Trey Tucker, but I think they're gonna lean on the guys I just mentioned. George Kittle receiving yards or the Raiders leading rusher.
Rushing yards for...
Yes. So it might be Zamir White. It might be Alexander Mattison.
Okay.
Maybe it's Gardner Minshew.
I'm going to go Kittle. I think they need him in this game.
Mm.
I think he can live in that seam area. I think he'll do well.
I'm not sure how good the Ravens defense is, so I'm going to say the Raiders are going to be able to run the ball a little bit.
Okay.
That's what I'm going with. I think you might see like 75 rushing yards for the Raiders leading rusher. I don't think you're going to see that many receiving yards for George Kittle. Number 5, 2 more to go here. Jake Moody, total points. Remember, he had 20 in the season opener.
Whew.
20 points for the kicker or tackles for Robert Spillane, a linebacker for Vegas who was their leading tackler on Sunday.
I'm going to go, and we're doing tackles, like overall tackles, right?
Yeah, total tackles.
Okay. I'm going to go with Moody again. I think Moody's probably going to get 2 or 3 field goals, and on top of that, like 3, maybe 4 extra points.
I think it's going to be more extra points. I don't think we're going to see a ton of field goals this week. I think when the Niners get in the red zone, I think they're going to go score. So I'm going Spillane tackles, especially because he's going to be doing a lot of tracking down of Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for him on Sunday.
You're probably right there.
Last one, 49ers takeaways. They had 2 in the opener, or Daniel Carlson made field goals. He had 1 against the Chargers.
Ooh, I am going to go 49er takeaways.
I think Sam Darnold's going to give it up a couple times.
I think he's going to give it up a couple of times. I also think that what we're seeing right now early in the season with the NFL are the linebackers like Fred Warner punching the ball out. And like we saw it all over the place. So between maybe 1 or 2 gaffes for Sam Darnold and then another couple of plays for wide receivers, running backs,
sure.
I think there's potential for 3 turnovers.
Okay, very good. I'm gonna lean that same way. I think Antonio Pierce is going to see the criticism of his punt in the fourth quarter against against LA.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. San Diego Chargers every time to me. I don't think I'll ever get over it. Against the Chargers, and I think he's going to lean the other way this week. I don't think you're going to see him kick a ton of field goals. So I think I'm going to go with Niners takeaways.
Okay.
In that one against Sam Darnold and the Vikings. Quick update on the standings, of course. Weekly total and season total are the same right now from week 1. You went 3-1 in week 1. I went 4-0. This week we have 3 that are the same.
Okay.
So we'll revisit that on Tuesday.
I'm here for it.
Party on.
Do you want me to involve Jesse and Joe tomorrow and we can have all 4 of us?
Yeah, if you want to take the time to write them down and text them to me so I can input them.
Okay.
But then we're going to have to loop them in every week.
Oh, that seems like too much work. but then the next week, I won't be here on Thursday and Friday, so you might have those guys.
Play it by ear. It's your world. If you want to do that, we can do that, and we'll just make sure that we're setting up with those guys each and every week.
Okay.
And then we'll just cancel week 1. It was preseason. I'll leave it up to you.
Okay.
I'm always down to involve people.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Speaking of the Vikings, I don't want to dive too far into a game preview here, but one of the hallmarks of week 1 in the NFL was the poor QB play. Not just from rookies, where I think Caleb Williams was maybe a little bit disappointing. I think Bo Nix, what was he, 3.3 yards per attempt. Bo Nix wasn't great. Jaden Daniels had his moments, but didn't have an outstanding game, but you definitely saw the upside for mm-hmm. sure. But it also went to veterans as well. And one of the few veteran quarterbacks that looked really good was surprisingly Sam Darnold against the Giants. And I'm really interested to see this week, and this is why going into Sunday, there's part of me that wants to say, well, yeah, of course, the 49ers are going to steamroll Minnesota. But Minnesota looked really freaking good against the Giants, and I can't tell if that's because, hey, you know what? The Sam Darnold corner has been turned. Sam Darnold has finally the thing we've been waiting for since he got drafted has finally happened. He got a year as the Niners backup, and now he's under Kevin O'Connell, a really good coach for the Vikings. And he has figured out how to be an awesome NFL quarterback. Mm. Or is it, hey, the Giants stink?
I think the Giants stink.
Or both?
Both.
You get both?
No, I think it's very possible that Sam Darnold is just having a moment here where like he's going to be able to prove that he's a player. I don't know if he's going to prove that he's a long-term starting NFL quarterback, but I certainly think that he has the talent to do that. And he has so many weapons. Mm. I mean, we all know this is a short-term deal. They have a young quarterback that they love who got injured and is going to miss the whole season, right?
Mm-hmm. J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, so like this is a situation where I think that Darnold is going to be given every opportunity to show other teams that he can be someone like Gardner Minshew. That he can
hopefully better.
Yeah, maybe better, but I don't think he'll reach, you know, some lofty moment where all of a sudden you're looking at him as like a Baker Mayfield.
Sure.
Maybe. But at the same time, I think this is it's a good opportunity because, man, they have a ton of weapons. They mm-hmm. do. This is a really exciting, offensive team with plenty of depth. And, you know, I don't know that their running back situation is all that great. Well, Aaron Jones isn't bad, but
Aaron Jones had a good week.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, Sam Darnold, I think he started 12 for 12. And finished 19 of 24, 208 yards, a couple of touchdowns. He did throw a pick. We're going to learn a lot about Minnesota this week.
Yeah.
And we saw the Niners go in and struggle against them last year. Kirk Cousins diced them up something fierce. You had Christian McCaffrey fumbled early in that game. Jake Moody missed a field goal. The Niners just did not look prepared to face the Vikings on Monday Night Football, and the Vikings took it to them. If they do that again, I'm going to be all in on the Vikings as a playoff team.
Oh, okay.
If they go in and punch the Niners in the mouth where they're matching their physicality and Sam Darnold's playing really well, that would sell me on Minnesota. And I'm not going to write it off as an early season, like, oh, they're just hot to start the season. Like, nah, man. Because I think the Niners are locked in.
Okay.
Any team that beats them, I think, is beating them legitimately.
I'm with you. I just think that their division is really tough. I think Detroit is going to be a playoff team without any question. I think Green Bay, they had the big loss of Love going down for, 3 to 6 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not convinced that Chicago's there yet. Like, it was too rough. The quarterback play around the league was really rough, but I thought Caleb Williams specifically looked like he was completely overwhelmed. And it's his first start, so I don't want to get too deep into it, but hey, look, we have Damian Borling again.
Hey.
One of those days.
It's all good, baby. We here.
That's right.
We tested that mic before the show today.
Yeah?
Yeah, because if it didn't work, I was going to let you know.
Well, Jonathan actually tested it in the...
Oh, you sound good.
You sound great.
In the first segment of yesterday's show. He was like, no, just grab it. Let's see. What's jumping off? What's jumping off, man? What's going on?
It is so wild because I spent the day at 95.7 the other day. It is so wild how differently that would have gone down at that station.
It's just like people like just take stuff like so seriously. Like sometimes mics don't work.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it just happens. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, Jonathan, can you text that? Hey, James, can you test this? Hey, the computer's not working. It's just whatever. Like,
you got to roll with it.
We just, the thing is, like, sometimes you screw up at work and, you know, 4 or 5 people know. Sometimes we screw up at work and everybody knows. What are we going to pretend like it's not happening?
Right.
Like,
we're just,
it's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
It's perfectly fine.
I'm right there with you. I've always leaned into the screw up.
Yeah. Whether it's like talking or whether it's messing up, you know, like when James read a press release the other day that beat the hell out of him live on the radio.
Oh, I killed that. It was horrible.
The press release, just one word after another kicked James in the face.
Yeah, what was the word that
it wasn't a wording. It was a phrasing of the return to play process.
The return to play process.
But when you read it, it is a bitch on paper.
That's a lot.
It is like the return to play process. What? Oh, the return to play process. It's meant to be all said. And one real quick. And like, what was I going to do?
That threw me off.
Not acknowledge that the most professional guy in the whole building just got RKO'd by a press release?
Yeah, it's tough.
You just point it out. You laugh. You keep moving. Like, it's not like no one knows a microphone isn't working or that something is off. Just smile, have fun with it. Like, Matt Nahegan takes stuff very serious. And I understand that. There's nothing wrong with that. We do not.
It is just different here.
We absolutely do.
Well, the best part about that entire thing is I read the entire press release, and the only thing I wanted to key in on was the second word.
The forward.
King's forward. Kevin Herter. Outside of that. And so I kept reading, and I'm like, oh, I'm stuck here. I've got to finish the whole thing. And then it was like, did you catch the word? And you guys were laughing, and I'm like, okay. Let me read the first line again. King's forward, Kevin Herter.
Yeah.
Like, wait.
Just got stuck in traffic.
Why is he listed as a forward when he started at shooting guard for 146
and
games?
And when you pointed that out, it brings us back to where we're supposed to be and we get back to doing what we're doing.
Oh, I butchered that thing. It was horrible.
No, it was but it was fantastic. It was great. Just sometimes you mess up.
Okay, here, since we're doing this, I wasn't going to talk about this on the radio because nobody cares, but since we're here, I do these sports updates, right, that play on the Eagle and 98 Rock. And I write them and then record them.
Mm-hmm.
And the other night, I had what you guys were just talking about with James. I had this phrasing that I had written that I just could not say. And I recorded it like four times, and I get stuck at that part, and I was so frustrated, and I was like, wait, I wrote this. I can just delete it. I have the Word doc. Yeah. I can just delete it and rewrite it. So we did that, and we got through it. It was great. It was fantastic.
I mean, again, sometimes we make things more difficult than they need to be.
Yeah.
And I've done that 1,000 times. I have a segment on KSFM that airs while we're still here. So I write it the night before because it's mostly in a news segment, and I like to have specifics in it.
Sure.
And every once in a while, I'll write something the night before and record it the next day and be like, who wrote this?
Fire
like,
this
what
person.
Sort of garbage is this? And then, you know, you have a different, you know, maybe I'm writing something, you know, like during the KSFM show, or I'm writing something, you know, in the evening when my brain is a little more foggy. In the morning, I'm clear. That's where I do my best work. And then I reread it. Like, what idiot wrote this? I'm the idiot. Fix it. And then you fix it and you keep it moving.
Are you sticking with the bearded look? I like this for you.
Yeah, I'm exercising patience with it.
I like that. Sometimes
I'm trying to keep the shape tight. There's still things I don't like love. But it's getting something. It's getting a little closer to where, okay, I might be able to do this.
Yeah. Okay.
Very good.
I'm very insecure about it. This is the most, self-conscious about it.
Where does the insecurity lie?
I've never grown facial hair before. Like, ever.
Angle looks great.
In my entire life. And it is like 9 colors.
Oh,
there's
same.
There's gray
dude,
in there. There's like blonde. There's black. There's brown. And then I don't know.
It makes you look distinguished.
My sister was like, do you dye your hair? Like, why does your beard look like that? And your hair looks like that. And like, I don't, in fact, dye my hair. So that was a kick in the balls. And it's like, no, that's just the way my facial. I don't know what to do. Like, I can't, like, I it's just what it looks like.
Yeah, so. I mean, I don't dye the hair, but my goatee is white.
Our early James Hamm clips with the dark goatee look so different today. Like, when you go back on, like, our Instagram and see, like, guest James Hamm, and that goatee is darker, and, man, we're getting older.
I'm not young.
right.
I have this gray patch in my beard right up front.
No, but it
center.
Looks good.
Every time I'm just like, oh, yep, there it is. That was the same deal. It's blondes and reds.
You know what I think, too, is guys with beards look better in hats. I read that once. The one of the designers I love I love buying from. Mm-hmm. He has a like a
you commission.
No. That's not no. He has a. I've never met the guy. You just purchase stuff. He has a YouTube channel, and he was talking about he sells fedoras. Fedora. I got a couple of them. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, if you don't have facial hair, you kind of wear your hat like this. But if you have a good full-size beard, you wear your hat like this. And I was like, wow, I don't know if this makes any sense, but it sounds incredible.
Sounds right.
I'm growing a beard because I want to wear my fedora that way. It's amazing. I think guys with like fedora ham knows. Like, yeah. Exactly. They say guys with like clean shaven, mm-hmm. you're supposed to wear it more at like kind of like a tilt. And have some of your hair out in the front, and it just brings out like a different, it brings out like a little more character to the overall mm-hmm. look. If you have a more fuller beard, you can drop the hat a little bit lower, whether it's a small brim or a wide brim, drop mm-hmm. it a little bit lower, and all the character will be there because you have the beard.
D-Lo's fashion tips is going to start being a thing that we do every time you're in here.
There it is.
All right.
I'm down.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. I was going to talk to you about Sam Darnold, but we're not going to do that
today. Sam Darnold.
All right. Very good. There it is.
I'll pick up where you didn't leave off. We'll talk about that next.
Dynamite. Can't wait. D'Lo and KC coming up. They'll hang out with you till 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. I'm off the rest of the week. James Hamm, Jesse Tapia, they'll be taking you into the weekend right here on ESPN 1320. Until next time, drink water, be nice, people. Bye.